Hey friends, welcome to the Grace Enough podcast. I am your host, Amber Cullum. Each episode, I sit down with a guest to discuss their life journey and how the grace of God has impacted them along the way. After listening to today's episode, I hope you are encouraged that God can use you right now in the midst of your day-to-day life. Yes, it requires daily surrender and trust, but we must remember His grace is enough. At the end of every episode, I ask my guest 1 to 3 questions. One of those is, where do you feel you need to pour out the grace God has given you to others? I asked my email subscribers how they would answer that question, and here is what Cynthia shared. At this time in my life of retirement, I have felt pulled to encourage mothers, knowing what a gift my mother was to me as I learned how to parent. Then I spent my life teaching parenting and child development. I didn't want to stop because I retired, so I found something to retire to. MOPS at Crossroads was the perfect place to find mothers to love and encourage. I do my best to pay it forward because of the rich blessing I have had having Helene as a mother, teacher, and friend. It feels right. It is natural. It is where I'm supposed to be now. I give thanks for my mother and for the perfect group in which to pay it forward. Thank you, Cynthia, for sending in that response. If you are not subscribed to my email newsletters, you can do that on Instagram at graceenoughpodcast_Amber. You can also do that on our Facebook page, which can be found by searching Grace Enough Podcast. Now on with the show. Today's episode, I chat with Beth McCord, and we talk about the Enneagram. If you are listening and have no idea what the Enneagram is, you are not alone. Beth has been an Enneagram speaker, coach, and teacher for over 15 years. During today's episode, she shares what the Enneagram is, how to utilize the tool from a biblical perspective, and so much more. Listen to what she has to say about her purpose in Enneagram coaching.
What we're doing with Enneagram coaching is really trying to give them the best theological base for who they are in Christ according to their personality type, because each of us have these core lies that are hardwired into us from like a flesh standpoint, right? And so we think, like, we hear the good news and we're like, oh, this is amazing, but we still feel stuck. Well, my goal is to say, yeah, I can see that you feel stuck, but you're actually not, you're free. Let me show you exactly how Christ for you in your personality type. And then all of a sudden, light bulbs go off, transformation starts to happen.
Hey, Beth, welcome to the Grace Enough podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Will you take a minute and introduce us to you and your family and what you do?
Absolutely. So as you said, I'm Beth McCord. I am married to Jeff almost 24 years. We got married when we were 20 and we had 2 kids by the age of 25.
So, oh, girl.
I know. I was like, what? but I am now 44 and pretty much an empty nester. So there's that.
That's kind of nice.
It is. Plus I couldn't do the career that I'm doing right now.
Right.
At least I don't think so. Because I really focused on my kids while they were growing up. And with the career that I have right now, there is literally no space for that. But I love what I do. So
yes.
God just kind of did the timing right. And anyway, so my son is a sophomore in college. His name is Nate. He is a type 6 with a 7 wing. And my daughter is 18 and freshman in college, but she's still living at home. Tennessee is really awesome. If you go to a trade school or the community college for 2 years, you can go for free.
See, that's so awesome.
So that's what she is doing. She's going to the community college and then we'll move on and working for us. So she's just learning. Yeah, she's learning a lot of entrepreneurship behind the scenes things. So loving that. And she is a type 2 with probably a 3 wing, though she uses them pretty balanced. And then I'm a type 9 with an 8 wing. And my husband is a type 6 with a 5 wing.
Wow. Look at you guys.
For those that know what we're talking about.
That's right. And if you don't know, as we continue our conversation, you'll learn a little bit more about the Enneagram. And that's what we're here to really talk about. But first, because I know that you teach the Enneagram from a biblical perspective, will you talk to us and just share a little bit of your journey with Jesus and kind of how that started and led into what you're doing now?
So I became a believer in 1982 when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
I went to a camp called Kennicott Camps in Branson, Missouri.
Yeah, I had 2 college roommates who were camp counselors at Camp Kennicott.
Oh, it's so great. I've literally spent probably 20 summers there in my entire lifetime. About 8 summers, 8-9 summers when I was younger. And then with my kids, we went to the family camp
nice.
for about 9, 9 years. And then that's just been great. But yeah, 1982, I remember Richard Beach giving the gospel talk and just thinking, who wouldn't do this? You know, like, wow. Of course I've sinned and of course I need a savior. And so I just remember it as clear as day. I can remember exactly where we were at. And ever since then, my heart has just been really, you know, fond for Jesus and walking in his footsteps. And so as I grew older, you know, I think, you know, all of us, when we're in like middle school and high school, we have those troubling times, but always the Spirit was right there kind of nudging me. And so when I went to college, right before college, I went back to camp to be a counselor. Awesome. And he just really woke me up. And I just felt this utter calling and peace to just really follow him wholeheartedly. So it was that coming year I met my husband, and then 2 years after that event where I got married.
Wow.
It was like really fast. And my husband wanted to be a pastor. And so we went straight into the Navigator ministry right after college and did an internship with them for 2 years. And it was there that we really fell in love with discipleship and walking people, well, one, becoming a believer, but then walking them through how to grow in their relationship with Christ. And that really has permeated everything that I'm doing now with Enneagram coaching, because that's really what I see is that, I mean, of course, if someone's not a believer, we would love for them to learn, right, you know, what Christ has done for them. But if they are a believer, a lot of times we have a lot of mixed theology in our mind, whether it is the flesh or bad theology just being spoken to us or who knows what. Right. And we just really want them to understand, who are you in Christ? Because we already are free in him, but so often we don't feel free. And again, that could be core lies that are swimming in our head. It could be bad theology that's been given to us. And so what we're doing with the Enneagram coaching is really trying to give them the best theological base for who they are in Christ, according to their personality type, because each of us have these core lies that are hardwired into us from like a flesh standpoint, right?
Yeah.
And so we think, like, we hear the good news and we're like, oh, this is amazing, but we still feel stuck. Mm-hmm. Well, my goal is to say, yeah, I can see that you feel stuck, but you're actually not, you're free. Let me show you exactly how Christ for you in your personality type. And then all of a sudden, light bulbs go off, transformation starts to happen. And just, I mean, it's literally the best job ever to watch people grow and transform right before my eyes.
It's been, I mean, your even Instagram account has been a tremendous blessing to me. But before we even start talking about that, there's so many people out there that I still encounter. I just assume they know what the Enneagram is. But the reality is, it's only been a year for me that I've been reading and studying and learning. So give our listeners a little bit of an overview of what the Enneagram is.
Yes. Just to give you a background, I started learning it in 2001 when my daughter was about a year old. So it's been a long time. But really, it was at a stage of life where I just felt like I was in quicksand. Not just personally, but also marital quicksand. Like, the harder I tried to fix it, the worse it was getting. And it was like, oh my gosh. And then I got to the point where I was like, am I even a believer? You know, like, why is this not going the way I thought? You know, I just didn't feel like sanctification was happening. Was I growing? So that's when someone introduced me to the Enneagram. Now, the Enneagram itself is just a neutral tool. It in and of itself is not Christian or any other faith-based. It's just a tool. And really what it is, if you think about it being an internal GPS, it is going to help you to know where your heart condition is in any given moment. It's going to help you to know, yeah, are you veering off your best path and falling into that quicksand? Or are you on your best, healthiest destination, which means your heart is aligned with the truth of the gospel and you know it, believe it, and trust it. And you're walking that out. Now, the thing is that most of us, when we're veering off course, which happens almost minute by minute, day by day, right? We have to preach the gospel to ourselves. But when we do that, what happens, especially in the human heart, is we want to compare ourselves, whether it's to a system, to people, whatever. Like, oh, I'm doing good. I'm not doing good. I'm great. Oh, I'm terrible. So there's a lot of self-condemnation, fear, and shame that's happening. So the goal that we have at Your Enneagram Coach and our mission statement is for people to see themselves with astonishing clarity so they can break free from self-condemnation, fear, and shame by knowing and experiencing the unconditional love, forgiveness, and freedom in Christ. And so what we want people to realize is you're already free, you're already cherished, and it's not based off of anything you've done.
Right.
It's based off of what he's done. And to help people to truly see that and live that out. Now, of course, they're going to say, but Beth, you don't understand what I've done or what I think or what I struggle with. And I'm like, well, you're right. I don't understand, but Christ sure does.
Right.
Like, that's why he came. So it's my, I feel like my calling, my job to help people to say, I do understand what your type, your personality type struggles with, but it's already been taken care of. So that's why we call the Enneagram an internal GPS, because it is going to help you to know how your personality type veers off course in the same trajectory time after time. And why that's so awesome is because what happened to me was I just felt like, see, I did it again. See, I did it again. And that doing the same thing over and over really made me doubt, like, maybe I'm not a believer. But what I realized, what I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me illumination to, was, oh, so when I do this A or this B, that is my personality type veering off course. And instead of shaming myself and putting myself down, I can come immediately back to Christ, because he's totally aware of it. Like, he knows. So I can come right back to him and say, I am still struggling. I can see I'm going off the path where I already did. I'm in the quicksand. And just come back and surrender and depend and call out to him. That is what he is asking of us, is to surrender and depend. He's not asking us for perfection. We need perfection, but he knows we can't do it. That's why he came. So he's wanting us to come to him and depend on him and with his accomplishments for us. When we do that, oh man, all of a sudden he illuminates our heart. He frees us. And all of a sudden now we're on the best path again, because he's the one leading, not us trying to do it ourselves. Now, so the Enneagram, as we talked about being a GPS, it is really going to help you to know, am I aligned with the gospel? Is my heart misaligned or out of alignment? And that's why it's so powerful in the Christian perspective. It really helps us to know our heart condition. And so with the gospel, we are going to help people to truly see where they're at, but also feel the grace and the freedom to have joy and abundant life.
Yeah. Once I figured out that I was a one, it was the first time, I don't want to say the first time in my life that I realized it, but I could really put words to the inner critic in me. Yeah. And I've always fought that. And like you said, shamed myself for being so hard on myself and hard on others. But yeah, once I realized, whoa, this is who I am. When I am not functioning in a healthy way, I am not only hard on myself, but I'm hard on everybody around me. And once I was even able to tell my husband, if you think I'm being hard on you, you should see how hard I'm being on myself.
Yep.
It was like this door opened of like, okay, Lord, help me to transform this part of my life, but not make myself feel guilty constantly that I'm going to continuously fall back into this area.
Yes, exactly. That's so beautifully said. Yeah.
Yeah. And so on your Instagram account, on your website, you have all of these different tools available for people. And you talk about core fears, core struggles. Share a little bit with our listeners, just some of the things that you share, some of the things that you have available for people to really become the best version of themselves.
So the first and foremost important thing is you got to find your main type. And it's not easy.
It's
because
not.
It's not. And the Enneagram is trying to assess why you do what you do. So that is really what the Enneagram is all about. Why are you thinking, feeling, behaving in particular ways? A lot of personality tests out there are going to show you what you do, your preferences, styles of relating, but they're showing you the external. This is getting to the core.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to find your main type, we want you to find the four core motivations in your personality type that's driving all of what you're doing. When you figure out these things and you figure out your main type, it's going to help you in just about every area of life. So the four core motivations is the core fear. There's something that you're always running away from. There's a core desire that if I just had that, life would be grand and perfect. Then we have the core weakness. It's also called the passion or the deadly sin in other circles. I call it the core weakness because it's kind of like Paul and a thorn in your side. Mm-hmm. And you just cry out to the Lord, like, can you please deliver me from this? And though there are seasons where we do maybe get better or things are going well, we're still going to struggle with it for the rest of our life. So it's our core weakness. It's our Achilles heel. It shows us that we're always dependent on him. And then the core longing. And the core longing is the message your heart has always longed to hear, first from your parents, then maybe teachers and friends, coaches, and then your spouse and kids and career. And we demand it from others and we get upset with them and we do it in a variety of different ways, depending on your type. And we're like, why can't anyone give me this message? Well, it's because even if they're trying their best, they're not sufficient enough to do it. Only Christ can actually give it to you to the degree you really need it. So once we realize that, then we can recognize, oh, I was judging my husband and demanding this from him. And actually, he's been trying really hard to give it to me. But it's not enough because our heart is just wired and made to only fully get it from Christ. So once I realize that, I can then turn to the spring of living water and get filled up with the same message because Christ has said it to me time and time again.
Right.
It's always there. Once I get filled up there, then when my husband gives me even a small glass of water, I'm so satiated by the spring of living water. Then it's like, sweet, thank you. You know, I'm not demanding him like give me as much as Christ can give, right? And so it helps us to enjoy one another when we know and believe and trust that Christ has already fulfilled the core longing of our heart. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that makes complete sense. Well, and I know you do a lot of individual coaching and you mm-hmm. train people to become Enneagram coaches. Yeah, do you have a couple of, I mean, I know you can't obviously share the exact stories that may have happened in your private coaching sessions, but do you have some stories that you can share with us of people who've really been set free by your coaching?
Oh, yeah. I really wish you all could be there. Like, it is literally the best thing ever. So
I
mean, you guys are interested.
I can see your joy. So it's radiating. Everybody else can't see that, but trust me, it is.
So I take them through 5 guide sheets. So actually, let me back up. The first thing we do is we do a discovering your type interview. And I have endorsed coaches that are ready to help anyone. So they can always go to our website and look under private coaching. So they'll take you through a typing session, or you can watch my discovering you course and see if you can find your type through that. That's what it's designed for, is to give you a basic understanding of the Enneagram and all 9 types and their core motivations. So try that first. And then if you can't, maybe get a coach to help you. But then we go into explore your type sessions. And this is where it gets really exciting. So we have 5 guide sheets for each type. So like for you being a type 1, I would take you through 5 sessions and they're front to back guide sheets. And what I'm doing is I'm breaking down your personality into bite-sized lessons because it is super deep and complex. But what I've done is I've distilled it down into this easy to understand format so that you're just like, oh yeah, this totally makes sense. But it takes you super deep into yourself in a way that is freeing, but also hard at the same time, because these are things that are just difficult. But the whole way through, I am coaching you into seeing how Christ has set you free and his love for you, so that when that self-condemnation pops up and shame, I'm right there to say, nope, let's look exactly at who you are, what he has done for you. And all of a sudden, over those 5 sessions, you can see this person really coming to life. Like, oh my gosh, the things that have always kept me in bondage, or at least they thought, right? Because they were set free by Christ already.
Right.
But what they thought was putting them in bondage, it's not there. It's their own illusion. And so at the end, they're just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So one of the people that just came to my mind, and there's so many, I had time for so many, but one is a type 3 pastor's wife. And she grew up with really harsh parents that are probably easily considered narcissistic. And they were in the ministry. She's now in the ministry. She had done a lot of really great work with a counselor, but she still had things that were tripping her up. And as we went through the 5 sessions, she was like, Beth, this is so remarkable. I literally now realize as a type 3, I don't have to accomplish anything apart from Christ. He has already accomplished everything for me. So she has now gotten to the place where she enjoys doing, because it's an overflow of her already knowing she's loved and cherished and set free for who she is, not based on what she does.
Right.
And that's what a type three is all about, image and doing and accomplishing. And now she's like, I now get to do this out of an overflow of already knowing I'm loved for just being me. It changed her so much that her husband, who's a type 8, the pastor of the church, emailed me thanking me for how much it has totally transformed her marriage and the family.
Wow.
And I mean, I was like just tearing up, like, because most husbands, they'll see it, but are they going to take the time to really email the person and say, and actually, I'm going to start coaching him here in about a week.
Awesome.
So, yeah, he's like, you know what? I have seen such a great change in her. I want to experience it for myself as well.
That is incredible. Yeah, my husband's a type 3. So that is another type that I actually know a little bit more about than, you know, just the general subtypes. Well, tell us a little bit about wings. How does that work?
Right. So there's the 9 basic types that we've talked about. And the wings are the 2 numbers on either side of your main type. Now, people that are probably in the car, they're like, what does this look like? Well, the symbol itself will really help if you could see it. Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll put it in your show notes, or you guys can come to my website, yourenneagramcoach.com. But it is basically a 9-pointed star. And where on our clock the 12 would be is where the 9 is. It's at the very top. And then you go around like a clock would, right? So at the very top is 9, which is me. I'm a type 9. And next to me is type 1. And on the other side is type 8. Those are my wings, which means I can access their attributes in different ways, healthy and all the way to unhealthy. And so if I can use the wings attributes in a healthy way, it can really bring a whole new dynamic to my personality type. If I use it unhealthy, it does the same thing, but not in a great way. And so why I love that is we're not just one dimensional. We're not just this boring one type, that's it, said and done. No, we're very fluid as people. God created us with lots of dynamics. And this is just one aspect. The other aspect, which you might be asking me, is what are these lines on this symbol? So it looks like a star for everyone that's out there that's not seeing the symbol, but there's 9 points. Okay. So when you have a star, there's 5 points. This has 9 points. So you can imagine there's even more lines, but each point has 2 lines from it, just like a star would. Those 2 lines that go to the other 2 points have very significant meaning to the type. So for me as a 9, one line that goes to a point is type 6, and the other line that goes to a point is type 3. And when I'm under stress, I'm going to take on some of the average to unhealthy attributes of the type 6. So this 9 who's easygoing, peaceful, laid back, all of a sudden when I'm not doing well and I'm under stress, can become anxious and worried, testy, irritable, reactive. But here's the thing. Now that I know that, because it's very noticeable, especially in my family, when this is happening, like we all now know, okay, I'm under stress. And so I can apologize and own it. I can ask for help. My family can even go, hey, I think you're struggling or you're under stress. And they can do it in a nicer way than, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you like this? But now they can catch me even when I don't see it, or maybe give me some room, give me some slack, and just grace and empathy. But how can they also come alongside me and say, is there something I can do to help you? Now, the other line is a path of when I'm growing. I'm going to take on some of the healthy attributes. For me, it's type 3. So this 9, who a lot of times 9s think, my presence doesn't matter, my voice doesn't matter, I'll just go along with everyone else and follow in the footsteps of others. I don't want to make any waves. I don't want to promote myself. Well, if you're an entrepreneur, that just doesn't work, does
it? Right. Definitely not.
So my gift and my calling that God has asked me to do is to be the lead of this company, your Enneagram coach. And so I've had to step into the 3, trusting the Lord is going to meet me right there. And what that means is the 3s, they're the go-getters, the achievers, the get stuff done. And so I just trust, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk into that. It's not my normal, you know, MO, but I know that you'll meet me there. And so when I do step out in faith in that, he shows up time and time again. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how is this happening? I don't know, but it's the Lord. And so, but it's fun and fulfilling. Things that I was afraid to do are now exciting and fun. And then my family can cheer me on because they know for me, that is really, really hard.
Right.
Now, for your husband, he breathes and sleeps this stuff because he is a 3. But my family now knows, oh, good job. And that's so encouraging because it's like, oh, you see that I'm really trying hard. And so that's why the Enneagram is so powerful. It's because there's so many deeper complexities, which why the Exploring You course or the coaching, because there's an online course version that's less expensive and there's a private coaching version. That's why that's so important, because it helps you to understand all the dynamics in your personality. You're not just static. This is a fluid, up and down, ebb and flow personality system that you're really going to want to understand so that you can go, oh, look at that. I'm having a really great day. The Holy Spirit is totally helping me to go in my area of growth. Or, oh my gosh, I'm really struggling. Holy Spirit, I really need you right now. I know I'm already set free, but my mind is not there or my heart isn't there. Could you bring me back in alignment with you? And here's the thing. Are you in your office right now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm in my office. So we're both in our offices. And what if we were saying to each other, oh my gosh, if I was just in my office, life would be so amazing. I'd be free. This would be the best ever. And we would look at each other going, but you're there. You're in your office. I'm like, what? And that's what I'm trying to do, is help people to realize what you long for, you're already there. Christ has already accomplished it for you. But our mind and our heart get derailed so quickly with false messages, lies, the world, etc. And I'm trying to help people to realize, okay, here's how your personality, when it's not doing well, thinks. This is how it operates. But when you're doing well and you're aligned with the gospel, this is where it's going to take you. And it's just like, oh my gosh, it's so great. So that's why the Enneagram from a Christian perspective can be so dynamic, because we already have hopes. The victory is already won. And so we're already where we want to be. We just sometimes don't realize it.
You explaining it in that way is even helping me, because something that I hear so often is, well, I don't really like personality types. They just put me in a box. And I'm like, well, I know an Enneagram doesn't, but I don't really have the language or the experience or expertise, for that matter, to describe what the Enneagram really entails when you continue to find your core type and then understand your wings. And then, like you said, the lines that come across. Do you encounter people fairly frequently who say, oh, I don't want to do the Enneagram, it puts me in a box?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how do you describe that in simple terms, you know, to somebody who maybe has no idea?
Yeah, well, one of the core teachers of the Enneagram, his name is Russ Hudson, Don Richard Riso, they've worked together. But one of the phrases that they use is, the Enneagram doesn't put you in a box, it gets you out of the box you're already in. So see, our personality, when it is not healthy, is hardwired to think in very specific ways. That's the box. But we're already free. So it's kind of like you're in a room and the door is open, but you keep saying you're stuck. And it's like, well, the door is right there. And so the personality itself is not bad or wrong. It's beautiful. God created us with our personality. But when we're not thinking in a healthy, correct way, yeah, it's going to be really destructive and harmful to us. But it's any of the personality types. There's no personality type that's better than the others. And there's no personality type that's worse than the others. Trust me. I meet with a lot of them all the time. All of us. Now, we look very different when we're unhealthy. But when we are unhealthy, it is really destructive. Now, destructive in different ways. The way a nine, which is me, is destructive is we literally shut down so much to the point where, one, we can become kind of catatonic or just not even really existing, like a ghost. We won't show up. People, it's almost like they can't even wake us up to life. Well, that can be very destructive if you're a parent and you're that passive and that out of touch with reality. But then there are other types, when they're unhealthy, it could be more aggressive or dominating. So what people will usually say to me is, I don't like my type. Well, guess what? No one likes their type, because it's going to show you, it's going to reveal what you're like when you're not doing well.
Yeah.
But here's the good news. Christ knew not only all that you know about your personality type, but he knows when it's even worse. And that's why in Romans 5:8, it says, while we were sinners, Christ came for us. He's not surprised. He's not taken aback. He's not like, should I rescue you? Should I not? He came because he loved you, because you needed him. You know, so it totally changes our perspective. And so you're in a box that has already been opened and freed. So the healthier we get, the more aligned our heart is with the gospel, the more we actually take on not just the healthy attributes of our type, the healthy attributes of all nine types. So we actually have this freedom to move about in this personality system instead of being constrained. So a lot of times I'm like, you know, as a nine, I'm like, why do sevens always get to have fun?
Right.
It's like, no, I can actually choose to do that. Like, I can choose to go have fun. Like, there's no one telling me I can't, except for my own self and my own false way of thinking. And so there's sometimes I'm like, you know what? I like to do that. I want to try that. And I can, you know? And so that's where we're set free to be more than what we think we can be. It's the thought processes that our personality constrains us, but don't believe it. Trust in Jesus, and he will show you these amazing nuances of your personality that are just so invigorating and enlightening. Like, I just love, like, for instance, like sitting with ones. Here's, and maybe this is how you felt. So whenever I meet a one, they'll come to me and they'll say, Beth, okay, I think I'm a type one, but I just need to tell you, I'm a really unhealthy one. They all say the same thing. And I smile at them in a very kind way, not a mocking way. I smile at them. I'm like, well, of course you think you're an unhealthy one, because you have a loud inner critic that berates you all the time. So even if you were doing great, it's still telling you that you're doing terrible, because you're not perfect. But Jesus knows you're not perfect, and he gave you his righteousness. So when God looks at you, he sees Christ's righteousness, not your faults and frailties and sins. And so you're set free. And so I get to have somewhat kind of fun with my types that way, because I get to kind of like give them a hug and go, yeah, I hear you, but it's just not true. Right. But you can see how the personality type is going to say the same things. The sixes usually come to me and say, I think I'm crazy. And I'm like, well, of course you think you're crazy. You have an inner committee, not just one loud inner critic. You have an inner committee that's chiming in from all sorts of directions. So of course you think you're crazy, but you're not. You have an inner committee, and let me help you navigate through that. So all the types have their certain struggles, and all of them bring such glory and beauty and reflect God in their own right and aspects that we need. So all nine types are the body of Christ. We need all nine types. Amen. We just need to come aligned with the gospel. And when we're there, we reflect God in his absolute glory and beauty.
Well, and I have tried at times to explain to people, you know, it's not a box either, because think about if you had something wrong with you, once you receive like a diagnosis, which is not what I'm saying it is with a personality type, but there is a certain freedom in knowing what the name is. And then you begin to learn more and explore more. And that helps you to walk forward in that.
Yeah.
Well, and so this is very similar. And to hear you even say that about the six helps me too, because my best friend here in Raleigh is a six. And I'm like, I can totally see her having the inner committee. So that's helpful. Uh-huh. Very, very helpful. Well, I could talk to you forever about this, but I know you have a busy day ahead. And so we're going to close out, but I do ask a few questions as we close out our episode. One of those being, we all have to cling to the, you know, the grace of God every day, but there are times in our life when we really just can do nothing else but cling to him. Do you have a time in your life that you could share where you just every day was a battle of clinging to the grace of God?
Oh my gosh, what day is not? But
yes,
right. I would probably say raising kids was definitely that. And I think it's because part of the wiring, and not all nines feel this way, but part of my wiring as a nine is I just want everyone happy.
Yeah.
Like the nine is like, literally our internal thought is, if everyone else is good and happy, then I can be good and happy. Okay. So like, when is that ever a possibility in being a parent? So it just felt like I was constantly walking up Mount Everest. Now, not all nines feel that way. I mean, in fact, probably a lot of nines don't feel that way. They just love being a parent. But for me, there was something about it that was really challenging. So I wanted to do it really well. I wanted to love them well. I wanted to love their personalities well. But it just, that was my kind of core weakness. My Achilles heel was, I can't make everyone happy. Well, of course I can't, you know, right. I mean, they're humans. But I really, there's a song by Indelible Grace on their first album. I think it's called Pilgrim something. Anyway, and Double Grace does redone hymns. That album was probably done around 2000, but like the third or fourth song is I Need You Every Hour.
Oh yeah.
And I would literally listen to that every day, especially a couple other songs. But I listen to that every day because that was my heart cry. Like, I really need you to love these people well. And it was by his grace that I think I did. Obviously, there's always things that we don't do well, but I felt my absolute weakest being a parent. But at the same time, I clung to the cross all the more.
Well, and speaking of that, before I even go on to the next question, what age would you say kids should really begin exploring what their Enneagram number is?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. And I'll be curious as the years go on and more people are more well-versed in it, if this changes. I can just speak to my own experience since I started learning the Enneagram when my daughter was one and my son was three. So they were, you know, really young.
Yeah.
I really honestly did not find their type until they were about 14.
Okay.
And I say that I held a couple numbers loosely, but the Enneagram is about your heart's motives. Well, no one can name another person's heart's motives.
Right.
So my son, I thought he could be a one, a two, or a six. And I would even ask him questions. Did you do that because of this, this, or this? And he would look like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, you're not answering the question. and you know, it's like, ah, help me. And my daughter,
that's the
male I thought
type.
Yeah, right. I thought my daughter might be a nine or a two. And so it really wasn't until they were that age where I had them take an assessment, which assessments, all of them are about 70-80% accurate because they're trying to assess your inner world. Depending on how well you know your inner world is going to depend on how accurate it really is. So, but anyway, I had them take it and he came up as a six and I had him read it and compare, you know, because he was 14 at that age and we do a lot of inner talk in our family. So they were a little bit more up to speed on their inner world. And he was like, yes, this is totally me. With my daughter, I thought she was probably more nine because she had a lot of aspects of me in her. But she tested out as a 2, and I was like, huh, really? And she read and she's like, oh my gosh, yes. And it was then from about that time on, I could start to see that personality really coming alive. I was like, okay. Oh yes. And so here's the thing. A lot of parents will see part of their child when they're in the younger years, but it's in those teenage years that that personality is really trying to break free. Because when they're younger, they're just absorbing. Now, their personality is still there, but they're still absorbing you, teachers, absolutely, coaches, all of these different, they're learning. Now, the personality, like I said, is still hardwired. It's still there. And it's in those teenage years that we start seeing it really kind of bursting forth. And that's when the parents are like, who are you? This is not who you've been. And it's like, well, actually, it is.
Yeah.
It just wasn't being shown to that degree. But here's the cool thing. If you can use, once you find your child's type with them verifying it, their inner world, then you can start to really hone in on how you love them, care right. for them. You don't have to have an anxious presence. You can go, okay, here's the struggles that we might have with their personality, and here's where they're going to excel that we can really cheer them on. And so it helps us to not have an anxious presence where we can come back to Christ time and time again and go, I cannot do this without you. And here's their personality. Here's my personality. Here's where they collide, and here's where they work beautifully together. And at the end of the day, it always comes back to we need Jesus.
Amen. I look forward to actually being able to discover that, because I do think it'll help quite a bit with just even communication back and forth between all three of my kids. Well, and then lastly, if you had the opportunity to sit down with your great-grandkids and give them some advice or wisdom, what is something you'd like to share with them?
I would just love them to know that they are loved purely for who they are, not what they aren't, not what they could, should be, but right where they're at. Like Christ sees all of them and came for all of them, not for just a part, and not to make them so that they'll figure it out, that they'll be better, but that he will be everything for them and that they are fully set free and loved right where they're at.
I love that. Well, tell our listeners where we can find you on the web.
So the free content, there's a couple places. Instagram, which is at your Enneagram Coach. We do a new series every 2 weeks.
And it's my favorite.
So that's a great place. And I do highlights. So every day there's a little video of me kind of expounding on that. But then we have a great blog on my website, yourenneagramcoach.com, that takes those topics further. And then on our website, we also have online courses. So we have Discovering You, which is that introductory course. And then you can go into Exploring You, which is those 5 guide sheets. So if you do the online course, it's me coaching you, but it's pre-recorded. If you're like, okay, I need someone to take me through it, then you'll want to do private coaching. And we have coaches for that. Then maybe you're at a place where you're like, I love the Enneagram and I want to do this with other people. And maybe you're already doing it with other people. Well, then take the Becoming an Enneagram Coach course, because I'm telling you, it literally is the best job ever. And I'm not just saying that, I'm a 9. Like, I don't promote. Like, it literally is amazing to watch people transform right before your eyes. And then it transforms their marriages and their parenting and the workplace. I mean, it's just so beautiful. So we have coaches, students and coaches who are in 14 countries right now.
That's so awesome.
A lot of them are missionaries that are utilizing this as like a discipling tool to get to the heart of each of the people that they're ministering to. So it's not just for people who want a business. It's for anyone that wants to use the Enneagram to bless another person's life. I would just say is the highlight of my life is to train others to do what I'm already loving and passionate about. And lastly, coming out October 1st, and then also in December, we have books coming out. So it's kind of crazy, but we're going to have 10 books coming out before the end of the year.
Really? So, like, so the are first you allowed one, to tell us anything about what those books are going to be or no?
Yes. Yes. So October 1st, it is called Becoming Us, Using the Enneagram to Create a Gospel-Centered Marriage. And so that my husband and I teamed up on that. And we'll have a marriage course that we're working on right now. So everyone pray for us because we're going to do 45 courses.
Wow.
The reason why there's 45 is that's how many couple types there are. So, you know, you and your husband are a type 1 and a type 3. You would get the course for your marriage, right? So there's 45 couple types. And then in December, we've teamed up with HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson, to do 9 books, gift books, journals for each type. for them to grow and go deeper with Christ.
Oh, girl, so, I am on this train for sure.
Yeah. So those are all coming. We're so excited. So yes, we are super busy, but y'all can be praying that all of this runs somewhat smoothly and that we hang on, buckle in, but it's going to be amazing 2019 as this all unfolds.
I love it. And I'll make sure that I link all this stuff in the show notes so that everybody can find it. And I do thank you so much for being here today. This has been just a joy for me. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are a first-time listener, welcome. Be sure to visit the archives to listen to previous episodes featuring women who are impacting God's kingdom by taking small steps of faith in their day-to-day lives. And if you are a regular listener of the show, thank you for tuning in and week out. Be sure to check out the show notes for links and resources at graceenoughpodcast.com. Also, head over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play and click the subscribe button. Clicking that button helps to make sure you never miss a new episode of the podcast. If you share the show on social media, use the hashtag GraceEnoughPodcast or tag me at GraceEnoughPodcast_Amber on Instagram and Facebook.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Enough Podcast. Tune in next time.